Hi, everybody, and welcome to Lecture 76 in this American History program of History at Our House for the Elementary Class. Today's topic is the Industrial Revolution, Part 1. So we have finally reached that point in the story in which America has gotten past slavery. We've seen the Civil War and the Reconstruction of the country as a country with a constitution that says slavery is no more. So may as well remind ourselves, how did they do that? Just briefly before we embark on a new topic, we know that Abraham Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation to free some of the slaves, but how did it become a part of the American Constitution that slavery is illegal in America? In a general way, what do we call that? An addition to the Constitution. Nemo, go ahead.
An amendment.
An amendment. Good, thank you. Amendment to the Constitution. And in particular, we are talking about the 13th Amendment, joined by the 14th and the 15th in quick succession. And these amendments that reconstructed, rebuilt, remade the Constitution said that from now on there'll be no slaves. Anybody that used to be a slave gets to be a citizen now. And citizens are all allowed to vote in America. So this is really important. These big, huge changes remade the country. And when they were finally accepted in the South, then the need for the Union, the Northern states, representing the Union of America, were able to withdraw their military power from the South, and the country had basically been put back together again. Okay, so it's 1877 when we've reached that point following the Civil War. All right, so now, while this great struggle over slavery is occurring, over decades and decades, we know with all of the arguments and then finally the Civil War and then finally the Reconstruction, it takes decades and decades to do that. While this was happening, there was another great transformation occurring in America and in Britain, especially in these two places. And it is called the Industrial Revolution. And so this involves, evidently, two different ideas that are captured in the two terms that are a part of it, part of the expression, the Industrial Revolution. On the one hand, we have industrial. We obviously, if we're going to understand what this subject is in history, we're going to have to figure out what that word means. And then on the other hand, we have the word revolution, which, well, we've already seen. But we might need a little refresher on that word as well to understand what it is that we are going to see. So we're going to start there with the word revolution to give you an idea of what the Industrial Revolution is. Okay, so we've seen a revolution already. Which one was it? Before this Industrial Revolution. Where have we seen a revolution so far in American history? Jack?
American Revolution.
The American Revolution. Okay, good start. Okay, so, you know, we just kind of used that word revolution, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong, but we didn't really talk about why we were using it. It's another one of those cases where we can just kind of, words can kind of slip in there and we might make the mistake of not explaining them. Why did we use the word revolution when we were talking about the American Revolution? Why didn't we, for instance, just say that the American colonies rebelled against the King of England? Didn't they do that? Did the American colonies have a rebellion against the King of England? Walker?
Yes.
Yeah, they certainly did, right? I mean, they took up arms and they rebelled against the authority of the king. So why don't we simply call this event the American Rebellion or the Colonial Rebellion against the English king? Or perhaps the American Revolt. A revolt would be another way to say rebellion. So why isn't that word good enough? Why do we say American Revolution? This word is a very specific word, and we're using it, so we better know why. Abby, go ahead.
Because what they did was more than a rebellion.
Oh, okay, so this is a good start here, Abby. Thank you. When we say revolution, we mean more than a rebellion. Okay, but more in what sense? More in what sense? Walker, go ahead.
It was more important, and also, well, it also became a new country.
Okay, so I think the first point that you made was the best. That we use the word revolution when a change is more important than a rebellion. But we need to focus in on that a little bit and understand it a little bit better. So, for instance, the lords of England had a rebellion against the King of England. Do we remember that one? A rather important one, wasn't it? Let me see, I'm going to bring it up on screen with our good old Anchor Fact Timeline, I think is a good thing to bring onto the screen. All right, so the lords of England had a rebellion against the English king. It's on here already. So, what was it? Wyatt?
The Magna Carta.
Right, so that was the document that they forced the king to sign after the rebellion. Okay, good. 1215. So, why don't we call that the Magna Carta Revolution? Or something like that. The English Revolution. Why don't we call it that? Nemo?
Revolution is a totally new way of being, and after the Magna Carta, they still add a ruler.
Okay, nicely put. You seem to be in a large canyon, but I hope everything's a strange microphone today or something. But anyway, you were exactly right, Nemo. So that they still went back to having a king after the Magna Carta. They had just made a change to the arrangement between the people and the king. So, what much more important change did Americans make which is the reason why we call the American Revolution a revolution? Walker says they had a new country, but what was so important about this country? Walker.
Well, there is a democracy and the king did not get...
No, there's not a democracy. No, mistake. What did they call it? Abby?
A republic.
A republic, okay. A country of individual rights, not the rule of the majority. Okay, so they create a republic, a government without a king. Now that's a revolution. No, I mean, because since when did people have kings? Patrick.
Circa
3000 BC. So, for all 5000 years of history, what's the most common form of government? For thousands and thousands of years, yes?
Slavery.
Well, okay, but run by who's in charge?
Kings.
Kings, right? So, how many times did we not have that before in any important way? There are really only two examples in thousands of years of history of people not having this. So these were quite revolutionary back then as well. But finally, after this huge history of monarchy, Americans are going to do it. And they're going to do it in a stronger way than anything that the Greeks and Romans had done. They're going to create a republic. All right, so that's the revolution. It's a huge change, not just a minor one or a modification. a little bit of tweaking here or there, turning up the volume, turning down the volume, right? It's a big change. No more king. And not only that, a government that protects people's rights, that is dedicated to that, as in the Declaration of Independence. All right, so that's the huge change. But now to have a revolution, you have to have more than just a big change. For instance, and I'll help you understand this point by kind of making a strange history. Imagine that in 1776, the Americans at that point did not create a government without a king. Instead, they just made a new American Magna Carta. And then, for 5,000 years afterwards, way into the future, into our future still, right? They kept having an argument with the king over and over again, and they kept getting small changes. Until finally, after 5,000 years, when the king was not very important anymore for a long time, they just finally said, okay, we're just not even going to bother having a king. But it took 5,000 years to do it. So would we call that the American Revolution? And if so, why? If not, why not? If it took 5,000 years to accomplish, would that be a revolution? Abby.
No.
Okay. What's do you know a word for small gradual changes over time? It's a lot like revolution.
I feel like I should know it, but I don't.
That's okay. What's a word for something that gradually changes slowly over time? The word for that is evolution. So something that evolves over time is something that gradually changes slowly. Okay? A revolution is something that happens, Abby?
Right now.
But if it happened in the past, too, it could be a revolution, right? The American Revolution happened in the past, but it happens how?
It happened quickly.
Quickly, there we go. We have to have two ingredients in our concept of revolution. We have to have a big change, a historically important change. So in the case of the American Revolution, that is going from monarchy to republic. That is a huge change for history. Okay? And not only that, it happens fast. From the Stamp Act to the Declaration of Independence is barely 11 years. If you've got monarchy for nearly 5,000 years, and then all of a sudden, within 11 years, it's gone, that's fast, right? It's not as fast as some things that happen nowadays, but 11 compared to 5,000 is puny, right? So it's a fast change, and it's a really important change that happens fast. All right, so that's the American Revolution. So tomorrow I'm going to ask everybody to remind me of this, how historians have this name, American Revolution. It's got two parts to it. It's a big change, and it's a fast change. And you should be able to tell me what both of them are. And then we're going to compare that to this other term that we're going to talk about today, or start talking about today, the Industrial Revolution, which is also a huge change and a fast change, but it doesn't have to do with America. Per se, it has to do with, as the name suggests, something industrial. Okay, so now there's our new challenge. What's this thing? The word industrial in the word Industrial Revolution says it's an adjective. Industrial means having to do with What's the noun for the word industrial, Walker?
Industries.
Okay. Industry. Okay, as a singular, as a thing, as of all of them combined, industry. Okay. Okay, what's that? I think it would be good to use a synonym that's kind of simple. What is industry? Industry means something. Wanna try that one, Walker?
Work?
Yeah, very good, very good. Industry means work. In other words, well, what do we mean by work? Okay, Walker is taking us a heck of a long way here. We gotta keep going. What do you mean? Industry means work. To be industrious, have you heard that term? Describe a person who is industrious means as a person who works hard. Okay, but why do people work? Why don't we all just frolic in the forest? Play, right? Kids like to play. Why do people have to work? What is work? Nemo.
Adults have to make a living and get a job to earn money.
All right, you're on the right track. To make a living is kind of a strange expression that we have in modern times. But living is just kind of a long word of making a... But why do we have to work? It's actually really, really simple. You have to buy food and stuff is what Nemo says. But why do you need food? Why do you need water? Why do you need clothes? Jennifer.
To live.
To live, right? Work is necessary for life. Is that true? Does that make sense to you guys? Work is necessary for life. Abby, help us understand this idea.
Because when you work, you get paid money, and you can use that money to buy food and water and clothes and shelter and everything you need, and usually a few things that you want, too.
Okay, so what you said, the most important thing that what you said was what you need. What do we need in order to live? And why is work necessary for life? What are those things, you might have heard of them, kind of those big needs that we have. If we don't get these things, we cannot survive even. We cannot live. What are some of the things you cannot live without? What's one? Patrick?
Air.
Well, air, okay, but that's everywhere and it's free, luckily, okay. What do we need to... You don't have to work to get air, right? Except you have to breathe, but that's automatic. What do you need that you can't get automatically?
Food and water.
Food and water are two things that just are not automatic. You're sitting right now, wherever you are, at a desk, at a table, and the only way for you to get water is to go to a source of it, and even if you go to your tap, how did it get there? Look, imagine all the work that had to be done in order to get the water to your tap. All the pipes that had to be laid, all of the special ways that water had to be rendered sanitary so you could drink it and not die from the germs in normal water out in nature, and so on. A lot of work had to be done to get that water there. What about your food? If you're up there in the northern states, how come you can go to a grocery store and get tropical bananas and oranges and mangoes at your grocery store? How did they get there? Did they just show up magically? Right, Abby?
No, lots of people worked hard to get them there.
Lots of people had to work hard to get them there. Exactly. People who had to pick those fruits, and then people who had to put them on boats, and Nemo's calling that import, right? And then those boats had to travel, and there had to be a captain, and there had to be people on the ships working the boats, and then they had to be taken care of, and then put onto trucks or trains, and then somebody had to be at the grocery store to stack them and take care of them and refrigerate them before you get there. And then, as you guys have been saying, your parents had to work to make the money to pay the people at the grocery store in order for them to hand over the fruit. So yeah, there's a lot of work involved in order for that nice breakfast of yours to show up and your lunch and your dinner. They don't just happen. And they never have. Human beings have to work in order to have food. They have to work in order to have water. What else do we need to survive that we have to work for? What are the other things? Food, water. We're not done with our list of things that we need. What else? Nemo?
Shelter, maybe?
Shelter is a huge one. Human beings cannot live out in nature. Even the most primitive human beings lived in caves or made teepees and things like that. Really primitive shelters. But now we live in amazing shelters that protect us. So absolutely, we need shelters in order to survive because of the dangerous animals out in nature, because of storms, because of the weather in general. So we need shelter. Okay, food, water, shelter. Are we done with our list of things we need? We certainly are not. Jennifer, what's another thing?
Clothes.
Yes, otherwise be running around naked. And there are very few parts of the world where you can get away with running around naked most of the year. So if you want to live where Henry and Wyatt are, where the snow still might not have all melted, then you better believe you better find yourself some clothes and some shelter and learn how to make a fire and so on. Otherwise, you won't last there very long. And even in places where the weather is nice, you can have hurricanes or other things where you need a shelter. So yeah, we need food, water, clothing, shelter, medicine would be another one. So these are all things that we need in order to live, as well as living among other human beings. We could say that we also need to live with others, so we need love and friendship and all these other wonderful things. So, but the basic physical needs that we have to make them with work. Okay, so this is what we are talking about in the Industrial Revolution. Industry means making the things that people need to live. Making the things that people need to live. In other words, work. And we are going to talk about now a revolution in industry. A revolution, a huge and rapid advance in the way that people work in order to support human life. This is the Industrial Revolution. A huge and rapid advance in the way that people work to support human life. Okay? Not a huge and rapid advance in the way that people organize their government. That was the American Revolution. But a huge and rapid advance in the way that people work. All right, let's take a closer look at this now. Today we're going to talk about clothing, because that's where the Industrial Revolution started first. That was the area where the rapid advances happened first. So I'm going to go ahead and change our display here over to a series of interesting visuals for us to look at having to do with work. So what I'm showing you here on the screen is people who are engaged in part of the activity of making human clothing. And this person here, for instance, is a drawing of somebody in ancient Egypt. This is a drawing of somebody in ancient Greece. And this is a drawing of somebody in medieval Europe. And what they are doing, all of it, is pretty much the same thing for thousands and thousands of years. What are they doing? Does anybody know why this person is holding this object that has all this stuff on it, and why there's a kind of a string coming off of it, and why this lady has a similar object with a kind of a string coming off of it, and then this lady is teasing a string off of this similar object? What is going on there? What are they doing, Abby?
They're spinning thread.
They're spinning thread. Okay, so they're spinning it because it's on some kind of a staff, a stick, and they're pulling it, and this thing spins. So this lady has something that's hanging. And so when you pull off of it, it just spins in midair. And this lady has something on her hand that she can turn in her wrist and again can pull off of. Okay. And what are they pulling off of? What's she pulling off? You can see this big clump here in this painting. What is this clump of something here that's being used to make clothing? Sigourney.
Cotton?
Pardon me?
Cotton?
Cotton, perhaps. What would be another possibility? Here we have some men working hard to take clumps of stuff off of some animals. Nemo?
Wool, maybe?
Some wool, right? So this is sheep's wool. So cotton and wool would be the most common examples of all of this clumpy material that you could shear off a sheep, as these men are doing. Or you could get it off of a plant, a cotton plant, and you have a big clump of it, like this right here. And then, when you have that clump, then, well, you'd have to clean it a little bit and prepare it, but then you would start to pull a thread off of it. And it'd be a very delicate operation. And people have been doing this for thousands of years, creating little tiny threads, gradually teasing them off of the clump. And this is called spinning, because the clump kind of does spin. It turns, and because it's on a staff and it can turn, and you're making thread. So people have been making thread the same way for thousands of years. And then in the Industrial Revolution, something happened. Some inventors figured out that it was possible to make thread the same way, but to add a new unique approach. And here it is in this particular image. Here's a lady standing in front of what? That's not a loom. I'll explain why later. It's not a loom. There's a lady standing in front of something. Walker, what is it?
Spinning wheel?
Okay, it's more than a spinning wheel, because that's just one wheel with a staff, and that would still be a single one. So, it's more than that. Abby?
It's like a spinning machine.
A spinning, good. The word machine here is exactly the one that I wanted you to give me. Some sort of machine. So, there is a machine here, and what you see is these clumps of thread, again, or material, that are just like this clump here. Except, what has been done with them? Many of them have been arranged inside of a frame. And they've been attached to this equipment, and this woman can now cause them to move in a certain way by the arrangement of the machine. And how many of these is she able to do at the same time? Because they have been arranged into a special way, side by side, in a special frame and a machine. How many can she do? Now you can probably guess just by looking at the picture, Abby.
About maybe a few hundred or so?
Maybe up to a few, yeah, over time, up to a few hundred at a time. A few hundred at a time. So this machine is called a spinning jenny. It's named after a woman, and I can't remember if she was the wife of the inventor, and that's why he called it that. I'm going to have to look that up again because I forget the reason. But the inventor's name was James Hargreaves. He created this machine called the Spinning Jenny, and it allowed a single person to make many threads at once. In fact, over time, it eventually became possible, as the machines got more and more sophisticated, for a single woman to make 200 threads at once. Now, what would we call it? What do we call it in comic books? If a person can run 200 times faster than a normal man?
A
What kind of person would that be? A normal human can walk, can run a certain amount. Another kind of human could run 200 times faster. Jack, what do we call that?
Superhuman.
A superhuman. Okay, so is this a superhuman right here? Next says, no, it's not a superhuman. But wait a minute, this person can do 200 times more work than another person. Wow, that is super something. What would we call that? Walker?
Super machine.
The machine is super, that's for sure. But what kind of work is this, Patrick?
Superwoman work.
Yes, it's a super work is what it is. So yeah, the Industrial Revolution is a time when regular humans could start to do super amounts of work. Super amounts of work. In fact, by the time that spinning machines became fully, completely advanced, like in modern times, look at these superhumans. Look where they're standing. Inside of what became a factory, a modern factory, and look at all this equipment. And look how hard they're working. How come they don't have to work too hard? Can they stop and take pictures? Abby?
Because the machine does most of the work for
them. Yeah, because the invention, the machine, is doing the work. And in modern times, in a really modern industrial plant, a single person can do the work that 4,000 people used to have to do. Imagine that. Just think of that. 4,000 times. A single human being can do 4,000 times more work than a person used to be able to do. This person here. I'm just about ending the class. Anyway, I got some noise. I'm sorry. This person here in the center is doing one person's worth of work. This lady here is doing 4,000 people's worth of work. Doesn't look too hard, does it? Because all she has to do is make sure that the machines are working and take one of these and put it in the right spot, and before you know it, it's off and going. Make sure that the machines are going. So this is the Industrial Revolution. A massive amount of change in the amount of work that a single person can do because of amazing inventions such as the original spinning jenny, which became this ultra-advanced thread spinning factories. And then if you had lots of thread and you had another amazing invention called the power loom, somebody was here reminding us about what a loom is. A loom is something that takes the thread and turns it into cloth. And here we have ladies standing in front of looms, and now they are making thousands of times more cloth than could be made before. And so now, if you want to have more than one outfit in your life, what do you need to do? Because before the Industrial Revolution, if you wanted to have more than one outfit, well, I'm sorry, you couldn't. So, but now, if you want another outfit, Walker, what do you have to do?
Either make one or go buy one.
Yeah, you don't make one. People don't make their own clothes anymore. So, you go to Walmart, you go to JCPenney, wherever you want to go, and you spend a few dollars on a shirt or a pair of pants, and you've got a new outfit. And you can do that anytime you want. Clothing is incredibly cheap because we can make so much of it so easily now. We are able to do super amounts of work and very easily. So this is the beginning of our investigation of the Industrial Revolution. The ability to make as much clothing as you could possibly want to make. Have as much clothing as you could possibly want, more than you ever will need. Now we live in a time where that is the case. But how do all these machines work? If ladies can do it, do you have to have lots of muscle in order to make these machines work? Abby?
No.
Absolutely not. So how do they work? I don't see any horses here. Doing all the heavy labor or any oxen. How are these machines working? Final question for today is a lead up till tomorrow. Abby?
They're working by themselves.
Sort of. Not quite, right? But they are being powered by something. Does anybody have a word for something that generates power? Such as for your car, or for an aircraft, or for a factory and all the equipment in it? What is something that generates power, Jack?
An engine.
There's an engine somewhere making this work. What is that? Tomorrow we'll find out. We'll talk more about other things that had to happen, other inventions that had to be created to make human beings capable of super work. Thanks, everybody. That's it for today. We'll pick this up tomorrow. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.